In today's episode, we have the new CEO of Otovo, John Berger, in the studio. Otovo is transforming into a service company for homeowners who already have solar panels on their roof, but no one to call when something breaks. We'll get to know the new CEO, and we'll dig into Otovo's new strategy to turn a heavy loss-making company into, hopefully, a profitable operation. My name is Runar Mæland. This is Arctic Podden. John, welcome to Arctic Podden.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah,
it's great to be here.
Yeah, you're a Texan coming to Norway. How's that?
Well, I think there's a lot of commonality between the Texans and the Norwegians. We have a lot oil business, and many other businesses, but also personalities and cultures, differences. But it's all of us. I've also heard that both of us are termed as cowboys as well. So it's really good to come here. Developed a lot of friendships and relationships here. I come quite often. My wife and some of my kids just left here, and it's a very, very beautiful place. And look forward to coming here every time. And like I said, I do spend a lot of time here.
Yeah, we're going to talk about Otovo today. But before we do that, who is John Berger? What's your background? What have you done before you came here?
Yeah, so I grew up in a town right outside of Houston called Bryan. There's two towns, Bryan College Station, home of Texas A&M University. I did go to Texas A&M in my undergrad. My wife went there, and at least three of my four kids have gone there, and one just applied.
Okay.
So we may go four for four. Big, big Texas Aggie family. Hopefully we can win in American
football. That's a football team.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yes, yes. In fact, the next board meeting, for the Otovo board meeting we're going to have, we're going to take them to the A&M Arkansas football game.
You have a stadium of 100,000 people or something, isn't it?
Yeah, well, 108,000.
108,000.
108,000, yes. One of the most intense places to watch a game ever. So maybe not as intense as football with the cup and everything, but it's still pretty interesting. Grew up in the construction business on the construction site, and then got into the power industry. I thought actually I was going to go in the oil and gas industry, and I got put on the power trading desk after I graduated from A&M. And very quickly then moved into, I actually ran a utility in Atlanta from the control room during the Olympic Games in 1996. And developed a capability and appreciation for the physical assets. And then fast forward, went to business school and up in Boston, and then
Harvard.
Yes.
We have to tell the listeners that.
Yes, I did go. In between the years there at Harvard, I worked for the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. Came out and worked in venture capital a little bit, but then decided that I was more like an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
And started a solar contractor, Southern United States. We did installations, much to my surprise. I thought it was going to be more about efficiency and some other technologies, fell into solar, and did work for residential, commercial, government. And we sold that business, took it through financial crisis, that business.
Okay, so that was before the financial crisis, so in about first part of that.
And then after that, I was like, wow, solar is a great place to be. But more importantly, going back into my power trading and so forth, really felt like there was going to be big changes in power. We're now starting to see that because of AI, which we'll get into and talk about. But the demand on power, but also power reliability, how you create a new network, how you have behind-the-meter generation, gas-fired generation, but solar batteries, new technologies, EV charging with the electric vehicles and so forth. I just felt like there was going to be a transformation here. And in hindsight, that's been right. That's been true. And then started another business after I sold that solar installation business. It was basically financing and service. Sold it very quickly to a big company out of the United States, big power company, NRG. And then started a company right after that. It was very similar. We did financing, loan, lease. We did new build. Really, we didn't do any origination or installation. We did essentially working capital management, quality assurance, but service. and built the third largest residential solar company in the world behind Sunrun and Tesla, and at 450,000 customers. And the service operations at the end, they're going to talk about that in Sunnova. We had over 500 men in trucks working, fixing problems, rolling trucks and fixing systems for customers from near Japan with Guam all the way into the Caribbean with Puerto Rico. And really, Puerto Rico is an interesting story by itself, post-Maria, how we built that up and had one of the largest, if not the largest, concentration of solar and batteries in the entire world.
Then there was also installation of the router. So you did the whole thing, you know, installation, batteries, and
we
service.
We had partners that would do the install, but we managed, we did all the financing, we did the service.
Mm. And then, so what led you into Otovo? Tell us about what happened then.
Yeah, you know, probably, you know, certainly one of the darkest moments of my life so far is when you know, interest rates started moving up pretty significantly, very significantly, one of the worst shocks ever in 2022. We had kept a lot of the cash flows, which sounds great, but when you put a bunch of debt on and then put debt behind it with the holding company itself, that works great as long as interest rates don't go way up. Well, they did. And so that started to squeeze. And then the election of Donald Trump and the rollback of the incentives, it's put the market in chaos. And actually that chaos, unfortunately, still exists today.
Yeah.
So you're seeing a massive fallout in the marketplace there. I do think it'll stabilize at some point in time with policy. But, you know, Sunnova failed. And I did take some learnings away from that. I will tell you, I don't like debt. And you won't see it on Otovo. We got a little bit for van debt and so forth. We're going to even clear that out. I don't like it. It's maybe an emotional, but it's very emotional to lose everything that you worked very hard for. And had to look at where I thought we would be the most value in making this successful globally, this industry with solar and batteries, but also generators. Most of my friends run oil and gas companies. I'm from Houston. I'm not anti-oil and gas at all. And I, you know, I'm a Texan. I mean, I love beef, barbecue, and Mexican food, and everything else. And I'm very capitalistic. I'm very focused on capitalism and so forth. And I believe that capitalism can be a part of improving people's lives, and is the biggest driver of improving people's lives. So coming back in and finding a way to reduce the cost to service, to basically fix customer systems and generators, I think is critically important to make life better on this planet.
And you had a difficult moment, you said, and I can assure you, you are not the first CEO in the Arctic Podden studio that has the same experience, because the oil service industry went actually through the same period, because most of the companies, they went bankrupt, and we have had several CEOs that still run the companies coming out of the bankruptcy and their experience they have, and these companies are very successful today.
Yeah.
So it's something that, you know, crisis also creates new opportunities and a new way of thinking, and those that, you know, just continue taking that experience with them. You know, I guess that. You don't learn that at business school, not even at Harvard.
Especially not at Harvard. No, you don't. And you're right, the oil business, oil and gas business goes through this quite a lot, right? Especially oil services. And I think there's a lot of learnings there. And I think it's important, one, that you learn.
Yeah.
You own the mistakes, you learn. To see interest rates move up that much, to see the election, the politicization of energy and so forth, you know, that's something to, you know, it just happens, right? Yeah. I didn't control that. I couldn't control that. No one could. But, and that happens in the oil business. When oil prices crash for whatever reason, you know, that causes a lot of strain and companies go bankrupt in the oil business. But it's also, what would you do differently next time? And it also gives me a sense of strong sense of urgency of cutting cost. And we'll talk about that with artificial intelligence, AI, and so forth. Really focused on how do we have a lean organization, fast-moving, aggressive, focused on profit generation, cash flow. So I will never go back to that pain again.
And then you started another company, and shortly after you came into Otovo, which is also been difficult stories for the shareholders. They all almost
very difficult.
Almost lost, you know. So how come Otovo, and what happened there?
Yeah. Well, you know, I was looking at, service was the biggest problem in the industry. If you look at, the space itself, everything in power in the last 3 years because of AI power demand and reshoring of manufacturing in the U.S. and building all these LNG trains that send LNG over here and so forth, that's all very power consumptive. So for the power industry, I've been in the power industry for over 30 years. For 22 of those years, outside, say 2001 with the dot-com crash, Enron's collapse, the independent power companies like NRG and all these guys collapsed into bankruptcy, you really had a huge bear market, 22 years, even worse than what the oil and gas space has gone through. And that ended about 3 years ago, maybe you might say 4 years ago, but it's about 3 years ago or so. And it's been quite a ride as far as power assets and the valuation of the companies and so forth. But guess what's been left behind? Behind the meter power. Why? Politics and the policy reversal from Trump coming back into office and so forth. And it really creates a lot of chaos. And then in Europe here, you had this huge pull forward of demand with the Russian invasion of Ukraine and then an absolute collapse there. So, upheavals, if you will, for different reasons in Europe and the United States, but still the result is the same, chaos in the marketplace, a lot of failures, a lot of bankruptcies. And I saw an opportunity to come in and buy companies rather inexpensively, put them together, and also know that the service business doesn't have a big dominant provider. And now a lot of homeowners, 37 million homeowners and business owners around Europe and the United States that have generators, solar, batteries, EV chargers, load managers, they don't know, for the most part, who to call. So they call the manufacturers. These are the Teslas, the Solar Edges, the Enphases of the world, Generac and Huawei and all these companies, and say, hey, you come solve my problem. Well, that's not their business, and they're there to make things. That's our business. And so between the manufacturers and big asset owners that have leases and power purchase agreements, we're in there and we're taking and saying, we take care of this, you pay us what you feel like you owe under a warranty, a product warranty or whatever, and then we'll take care of the rest and we go directly to the customer as well. That's a huge opportunity. And we're now the biggest behind the meter power company in Europe, in the United States, and we got a lot more to go. But what made it really all special is catching the timing right, not only on that market cycle, but also in AI.
And
being able to drive forward, and we'll talk more about that with efficiencies.
Because there was a lot of people that installed solar panels on the roofs, and if something was wrong or they needed some extra battery or something, the ones that delivered it were no longer there because they were gone.
Right. And the old Otovo was no example.
So that is the space that you want to fill.
Yes. And so with the old Otovo, I saw an opportunity to, yes, it was a mess.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no question about that. There was in the new build business and originating, basically trying to find people that didn't have solar panels and batteries and then sign them up and then try to finance it with the insurance company relationship and so forth. And that's all fine, well, and good, but it clearly didn't work.
No, it was, the share price for a time, it was quite successful, but it was a cash drain. And then over time, the market is ruthless. For you, this is a kind of a platform to build the new Otovo 2.0. And you actually elaborated what it is now, but you're going to grow through acquisitions.
Yes.
And so you've done 8 of them. So, what kind of companies are you buying, and what are you looking for?
We're looking for service companies that already have technicians that roll trucks and fix power assets. And we since the merger with my company has started up with the old Otovo and taking that over, We're about to close our eighth acquisition. We have three more, as we announced on earnings last week. I will tell you those discussions going quite well, progressions, and we have more behind that.
Yeah.
So what the new Otovo is an AI-enabled service company roll-up. So buying companies at good valuations from an investor standpoint, then going into these manufacturers and these big asset owners and saying, give us all the business because we have a huge geography, we have a huge technician fleet, and it's very easy for them. Okay, we have one company to go to and you are responsible for everything. As one senior manager put it in a manufacturer, I will give you the business, but when there's a problem, I want your phone number and I call you wherever you're in the world and you answer it and you solve my problem.
Yeah.
And then I give you the business. And I said, that's a good deal. I'll do that. So it's being in the service business, we know in oil services, it's constant. You're doing what your clients want, your big clients. That's true here as well. And that means that we need to acquire in more geographies and more technician capacity and leadership with these entrepreneurs that built these service companies to come on our management team and help us really be the best and the biggest service company for behind the meter power in the world.
But how do you get, build the Otovo culture in so many cities, several countries with service people that drive around in a car, mm-hmm. have their own way of thinking and their own opinions about, how do you do that?
Well, I think it's really key, and it does start to get into our AI strategy, is that we built our own tech stack with AI and created our own agents to help really and really focused around the service technician. So there's a lot of input that comes in from, as you would say, the guy in the field, driving the van, driving the truck. And so we've listened to that guy in the field and put together as a platform and a company that's really more focused around them and how to make them successful.
Yeah.
As one of my senior managers told me last night, the guy said, gosh, there's a lot of cost cutting and so forth. He goes, am I safe in my job? And he goes, your job's safer than mine and John's. He goes, yeah, the whole company's about you. And so as we get that message out there and says, hey, this AI, this technology, this is about you. It's not about me.
But
that's really been a powerful help as far as acquisition.
Explain so I understand. The AI, you have built your own system called Endurance, which is an IT kind of platform that will be used for all in any city or any country. And how does it work? I mean, if I'm a client, I have a rooftop, I have a solar panel on my house, there's something wrong with it, I'll call you. What's happening and what does this system do then?
The reason why you care as a customer and even a company that's a manufacturer that sends us customers in, both businesses and residential.
Yeah, because they can be portfolios, they can be financial companies that are like insurance company that bought from Otovo in the beginning.
Yes.
Swiss Life, I think it was.
Yes, right. That's right. Yes,
and they have a portfolio. They have thousands or 10,000 maybe of customers, systems that they have rented out, and they don't know, but they don't have the service people. And
that's right.
So they are also then implementing, giving you the business.
That exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
But anyway, there's a guy behind that. There's a customer also behind that,
right?
With a rooftop.
Yeah, so we try to monitor every system, and generators included, and then we can tell when something's wrong, and then we reach out to the customer and say, hey, something's wrong. Are you okay if we roll a truck and you can pay us to fix to get your power back?
Because you will see it. Can you monitor it? Okay, so you
through
will
endurance.
See if that the efficiency is down only 80%, should be 100.
That's exactly right.
Can be,
Yeah. So we can be proactive.
Yeah.
If we have monitoring, and we encourage that for obvious reasons. But the other side is we get more of the inbound. Hey, I know my system's broken. Hey, can you help me?
Right.
And what we've been able to do is, endurance, it stretches all across the enterprise of Otovo. So we have created agents to help us not only just build the software and cut all that cost out. So we've ripped out the old Otovo, ripped out HubSpot and AirCall and a bunch of other software. There's so much spending that was going on and in predecessor companies, other acquisitions that we've done. We've literally saved millions on annualized spend already. And then from there, what we've been able to do is create agents that not only keep adapting the software at a very brisk pace, so you have input across the organization, some of that comes in from technicians, some of that comes in from customer support, marketing, and so forth, but also we can do a lot of tasks. Like over right now, when you call in as a customer, there is a more than 50% chance that actually endurance can solve your problem rather than needing to talk to a human at Otovo.
Okay, so it will be a kind of chat box for the clients? Or
It's getting more than that. Oh. It's really getting more than that. Now you're going to be able to talk to voice. You can send me an email, a text, whatever you want to do. A lot of people don't want to talk to people anymore. They just want to text and you take care of my problem and that's it. And so we cater to that. And how do you get to, as a customer, to spend more of your life doing what you want to do, and we'll take care of your problem.
Yeah,
that's as easy as possible, and as cheap as possible. So big part of what we're doing is lowering the cost structure that's actually enabling residential solar and commercial solar to be economical.
Yeah. Because you don't need
big staff.
Big staff in each city.
That's right.
Or area.
That's right.
So that's part of the
it's a big part of it. And, we've done, as we acquire companies, we've been, again, more focused on the guy out there making it work. I mean, our vision, and this is already happening in some cases, a growing number of cases, is that you as the customer, the only human that you would need to talk with at Otovo is the technician.
Yeah.
That's it. Oh. Everything else is done automated, and therefore we can lower our cost structure, make it faster and more efficient for you, because that's what you deserve. And if you look at, for instance, we have hurricanes hitting Houston, Galveston, and so forth all the time in Miami. I think you're familiar with Miami.
Yeah, I was there.
Yeah,
this summer.
There you go.
Norway, England.
And as you have a hurricane that comes through, and you have generators, you have solar with batteries, it is extremely difficult, if not impossible, to get a technician out there afterwards to fix, if you got a problem, to get that generator back going again. You know why? Because they're outselling. There are more installers out there outselling new customers that don't have generators that wish they had.
Yeah.
And that is not going to happen with Otovo. Otovo is focused only on service. We will roll trucks. If you're a member, we have three different levels of membership. We can respond in 48 hours, 24 hours, and 12 hours. You tell us how you want to respond, and we'll be there quick, and we'll get your power back up and running.
So how much would a membership cost?
€9, €29, €49 a month, depending on how fast you want. And we have some different membership loyalty plans, for panel cleanings and inspections and so forth that kind of get wrapped in.
You charge for the service done at, and that comes in addition.
In addition to, but there are some loyalty benefits like with airlines and so forth to being a part of a member of Otovo too.
So how often does a rooftop owner need some kind of service? What's the, every year or every second year or what?
The straight answer is it depends. There are some, met a gentleman, a Otovo customer that, hasn't had a problem in I think 10 years. I said, wow, you've really beaten the odds. And then there's some that have had systems and they need, especially when they have batteries and a bunch of generators and integration, it can need service every year. So the average that we found out at the previous company in the U.S. is about 3 years. Europe, with the more mild weather and so forth, is about 4 to 5 years, although that may be trending more towards the U.S. average because of a lot of the equipment that's been different manufacturers over the years and the recent years. And that's increasingly had more complexity, and more complexity on a home or business means more things that can go wrong.
Is it, will the growth come basically in America, or will it, or Europe, or what's your geographical?
Yeah. So right now we're doing very, very well, as we talked about in the earnings call. We are seeing very explosive growth in the United States, almost day over day. Actually, it has been day over day. We had a record sales day yesterday in our B2C business in the United States. Europe is, we need more technicians. And so we're very closing on this next acquisition. Then we have two more acquisitions and actually more behind that to really bolster our European operations and get with it. So right now, a lot of our profit, our cash flow in the US and our revenue growth has been bigger than Europe. That's about to change. And Europe is a much more attractive market. It's twice as big as the US. It's a better market with regards to, there's capitalism in the power industry here. Mm. With you get to choose your provider like we have in Houston and Dallas. That's not true in the vast majority of the country. So right. Europeans are more advanced in the power industry than the Americans. And so that gives us a lot more opportunity to save money and to have additional services like retail power, aggregation of generation at your home and office, and be able to sell it back into the wholesale grid and make money. We can do that more in Europe than the United States.
Oh. How would you market yourself? I mean, you need to tell a lot of people that you're there, and it's only you buying portfolios or client lists or what. But after spending a month in the US and watching some TV when there were football games, there's a lot of advertisements from local service companies in that particular area where you are. Will that cost a lot to do marketing like that, or what do you?
Well, the opportunity is so big right now that we don't need to go spend money on expensive TV, radio, and more passive marketing,
okay,
as they call it. We actually don't even do that much on Google search anymore. Oh. A good chunk of that is everything's changed with ChatGPT and so forth. So with AI, consumers have changed very recently. So we found being quite competitive on, we don't spend a lot of money, quite candidly, on customer acquisitions, especially compared to the old Otovo.
No.
We spend a fraction of a fraction. So we're going to keep it that way.
Okay.
That tends to make the bottom line a lot healthier, as we don't spend a lot of money there. Sure. And remember, we have these business relationships with these manufacturers, the asset owners, and that makes our customer acquisition costs through those channels pretty low.
Yeah. You said on the second quarter that the cash drain is stopped from the company, and but with you, you're going to grow. Do you need how do you plan to finance that? For you know, you're not that fond of debt,
yeah.
So
yeah.
So either you generate the cash yourself or you use the market. I mean, what's your?
Yeah, I would say that we said this on the earnings call, but. The days of burning millions of dollars a month in cash are over.
Yeah,
and we do feel like that right now we're running. We're doing some calculations about, because it's so recent over the last 2 or 3 weeks, but we do feel like we're running at a rate that's either right below or right above profitability for us without the green panel, the incoming acquisition. That will sure hurdle us over that. Then we have three more behind it. So, and we're getting a lot more business that's already been signed up and is coming. So there's a lot that's happening. It gives me a lot of confidence in our forecast and our guidance that we put in for the fourth quarter, which is quite attractive to say the least.
Now you raised the guidance actually two times this year.
Yes. Yeah. Is it because you see
something, something's happening out there, or is it just conservative?
I think we've been pretty conservative in our Q4 guidance, and it's a Q4 annualized, so it's just for the Q4.
So repeat, what was the guidance again, so listeners?
So on the and when you look at, we're guiding essentially what if you were to take the fourth quarter and multiply it times four, right? So if you did that, what we're saying is that revenue will be somewhere between 105, 115. Now, personally, I don't really care about revenue. What I care about is cash and net income. And so when you look at our adjusted EBITDA, which is taking out foreign exchange, deal costs, legal costs, severance, not too much there, but because we do take out the bonus accrual that we capture back and put that in, so we don't, you know, we don't just take out the bad stuff and leave the good stuff. We kept both, take out both, and then we have really it's just real one-time expenses that we take out. Dual listing costs in the United States, we're taking that out. But outside that, what we said was on the adjusted EBITDA, which is a result of that, so it's fairly close to net income, is that we would make between 15 and 20 million annualized on the adjusted EBITDA, which is actually obviously quite impressive given a roughly 100 million market cap of the company. And we feel pretty good about that. And I will tell you that the growth is there. It's very, very strong, and it's coming through on not only business to business, but B2C. We're having more and more acquisitions show up, and you asked the question, how we finance those acquisitions. We've been doing deals that have earnouts with the entrepreneurs, so they're tied to performance. And then we also have done a mix of cash and stock. That's why I wanted the freely traded security of Otovo, and then moving into the U.S. Listing. That helps greatly. It's a necessary tool to do a roll-up in this space. And when you look at that, we've been able to have either sometimes all stock deals or some cash and some stock. So we do raise to be conservative, again, not taking on debt, a little bit of equity. We've been very successful at that. And we're going to continue to do that. Now, we are moving into the world of producing cash. And so maybe we just be able to grow and acquire more out of cash flow. That's my goal.
Yeah. The current business model, if there was no acquisitions, would that be able to carry the company then, do you think?
I would say that for conservatism purposes, that you would say, okay, you at least need the Green Panel deal and you need these other three acquisitions. We don't really, but I mean, conservatively, that's the way I think about it as a potential investor or an investor. Yeah. But after that, you get Europe really moving. We got the US really humming. We'd have some operations that are throwing off cash in the Middle East. Everything's coming together, because a lot of what's come together with these different companies is one of the companies has a relationship with this big company, and then we have relationships. I bring them with the large manufacturers, and another company has these, and we're basically swapping and saying, "Hey, great! We only did the East Coast United States, but now we have the West Coast and all the Southern states," and they're like, "Wow!" And then, "Hey, yeah, now we have Europe, or we had Europe, and do you want the U.S.?" And so it's been very much cross-pollination, and we've done, I think, an excellent job on integration and making that cross-pollination work. And so that's why our sales are moving up so strongly. It's not, you know, it does sound like, how are you growing so quickly? How do you have this guidance there? Well, I'll tell you how. It's that we've done a very good job on the acquisitions, finding them, integrate them. It doesn't mean that it's not without pain. It doesn't mean that I haven't messed things up. May, after the Energy Ad acquisition, I could have done a better job on that, but took lessons learned. And when we closed the SST acquisition in July, we applied those lessons. But at the same time, things have gone very quick, and we've been able to take endurance and go into these companies within 3 weeks, rip out all the systems, the costs, and we're getting better and better at saying, okay, stop spending money there, don't spend money there, hear this, and get integrated very, very quickly. By the way, revenue's coming in the door, we need your help right away, come in. It's exciting for a lot of entrepreneurs, just leaving a meeting is like, this is really exciting, I can't wait to join the team.
No, but I guess that, since you're doing so many acquisitions, then you get very good at it, because companies that does an acquisition every 5 years or something, quite often it doesn't turn out very well. But you will do a lot now, and you will get, you know, gain experience and, you know, implementing your common platform.
Yeah,
I guess you will.
Yeah,
it's easier, and you know what to do, and you see the same problems maybe several times, and you know what to.
We do, and AI and endurance has been a big part of how do we come in and immediately provide value. We're able to come in and take a look at a company's income statement, cash flow statement, and say, you know what, we're going to cut this, this, and this because we have endurance, and we're going to put this. And we're, so it's we are bringing a lot to the table financially is the way to think about it. And we can come in and say, we got this. We're going to plug you in. We're going to move your cash flow up significantly. And members, a lot of these guys have earnouts. So it inures to their benefit personally, as selling their companies to us. And joining the team. So yeah, you're right. We have gotten good at it, but you know, it's not just a normal roll up. I mean, we've been able to bring technology, AI to it, and really supercharged that financial performance.
Yeah. And that dual listing, I mean, you're not a very big company, but you, is that because it's easier to actually pay companies that are owners that you acquire companies from in the U.S. listed stock?
Yes.
Because yeah, Norway is, yeah.
I have a number, you know, I'm building a lot of relationships with Norwegian investors, both individuals and institution. But obviously, I have a number of relationships from prior companies and making private equity money and public investors' money, both in Europe and the United States, but also around the world. I mean, I've had relationships with Japanese investors and South Korean and Israeli, and the list goes on and on, Singapore. And so being able to go into a deep capital market like the U.S., and I have a lot of the relationships there, is going to be very, very helpful. What I would say is that what I'm looking forward to is having the valuation increase as we continue the M&A, as we continue to execute and perform financially, is to have those in Norway who invested in the company. I would like to think that I can bring the company listed in the United States and do very well for them.
Yeah.
You know, being early, it's tough, it's riskier, right? But increasingly now it's like, well, let's make the big American institutional investors pay more, right, than we can pay here. So that's the idea. That's the plan. It doesn't mean it's going to happen, but I'm putting everything I have into it and making sure that does happen. I have a financial incentive. I'm the biggest shareholder.
You're the biggest shareholder.
I'm the biggest shareholder.
That. And you have put all your money in it.
And I put the money into it, and I don't get paid any cash until the company makes cash.
Right.
So I get paid some reimbursement of expenses and so forth, but I don't have a salary and I don't have a cash bonus and I just own the stock. And so it's a lot like, you know, I wanted to make sure that everything was very clear to investors, like he's all in.
Yeah. 2 or 3 years from now, John, what do you think Otovo will be?
I think Otovo is sitting at the epicenter of 3 megatrends. We've talked about them, but to recap, power. Power is going to be in demand for compute power to power AI, if nothing else, but also electrification and transportation, air conditioning demand, and a bunch. And so that's going to last for a while. The second is service. Power service is it's a huge gaping hole, as I've said. And that has an enormous amount of opportunity. And quite candidly, that enables solar and batteries for residential and business to happen. And then third is artificial intelligence. That really has nothing to do per se with those other two.
Mm.
And what I could see Otovo becoming, and I wrote about in my CEO letter to shareholders when I took over in last December, was Otovo could become, and my vision is to become, our vision is to become a company that could really transform service industries globally. Now we're going to stay focused on the power industry, and there's a lot to do. We've talked about, you know, doing retail power and a bunch of other things, but there's so many other industries that we could go into and be quite large and use our technology and our skills, capability, and our footprint to grow the business into something quite large. And you know, there have been some large companies that I think we all know the name that may have started out selling books and then all of a sudden they sell everything in the world. I'm not going to try to say that that's what we do, but that's very bold of me to compare ourselves to Amazon or somebody. But at the same time, I think it's really important to think big and to be aggressive, stay focused, make sure you're executing, But you know, already we see a lot of other opportunities we can make Kotovo quite successful. Yeah. And that's really what I want. I want us to be known as the best in power service in the world. Yeah. I want us to be successful for our technicians. I want us to be successful for our shareholders.
You mentioned retail power. In your second quarter presentation, you said you had five revenue streams. It's the membership, it's the repairs and field service, which we have talked about, equipment upgrades, and retail power. That's not something you do today, or is it?
It is. We do it in Texas.
You do it in Texas?
Yeah, Texas only. We are, I think, going to expand sometime late this year, next year, into the Northeast Mid-Atlantic U.S., but the big prize is Europe. And we do have plans for that. Right now, it's a lot going on with the acquisitions and dual listing and a bunch of other things, achieving profitability, focused on that first and foremost. But we will get to it, and so it'll be a big opportunity for us.
That'll be clients actually will buy their power through you.
Yes, that's what they do in Texas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. We just had an acquisition on the Oslo Stock Exchange from a company like that now.
Could we do that? I mean, yeah, I think there, as we build out a platform, and again, AI is a key cornerstone of that platform, it's very interesting about what else you could do with the company and our capabilities. And right now we're having more and more service companies, power service companies come to us and say, we want to sell the company to you and grow with you. And the key reason is endurance.
Yeah.
They see it. They're smart people, and they're like, we can't do this by ourselves, but you've already figured it out. We want to, as they say in Texas, we want to hitch our wagon to yours. One major item that investors have been really interested in is, regardless of service business, the key thing that's been kept service businesses, and let's be more descriptive, air conditioning service or pool, plumbing, pest, but a bunch of different services. It's that every time you added somebody in the field, you have to add somebody in the office. It could be scheduling and dispatch. It could be customer support, marketing and sales, and accounting, all that. And with AI, with endurance, we have broken that relationship. We've said, no, we don't need to add those people. In fact, we can do a lot more with less.
But you need service. You need service people that I mean, fixing a pool or fixing an rooftop solar panel is probably different skills. Yep. Or do you think?
But what we've been able to do is bend that cost curve down, that overhead cost, right? And that customer acquisition cost downwards using AI.
Oh.
And then we've increased our number of technicians rolling. You can see we've talked about going from really nothing and only 5% of our entire payroll was guys in the field. We now are over 30% guys in the field as a percentage of payroll. Headcount, and that includes contractors and so forth in different countries that we have, like call centers in Mexico and Philippines, in Spain and so forth. And so when you look at, simply put, what we've been able to do is, for the first time in any service industry, is have the growth in the technicians be divorced from the growth in the office worker.
Yeah.
And what that means is more of the dollar that is being paid to us in revenue to solve a customer's problems is going more to pay for the technician and then fall to the shareholder in the form of cash.
Oh.
And that is a very, very exciting financial differential. That is what's going to force everybody to have to get onto using AI to follow us, but we are far, far ahead in the behind-the-meter power with what we're doing with AI. And now we're far financially ahead as we continue to execute that plan. And that's really important for investors to understand is, if we can spend a lot less money on overhead, offices, everything, think about that, than anybody else out there, we will crush the competition.
Oh.
All right. We our analyst in Arctic, we have a target price of 22 kroner. The stock is trading around 12.3, actually, before we went into the studio. So we really are optimistic about the future. We're listening to you. I think that target price sounds too low, but we will see.
I mean, every CEO thinks his share price is too low. But I think, look, I wouldn't be doing this if I didn't think that this was something that you could make, that I could make a lot of money on. And I'll tell you, the companies that we're buying, you ask those CEOs and those entrepreneurs, they feel the same way.
Yeah.
So, our culture has been fundamentally changed. We're focused on the right things for shareholders. We're excited about what we're doing, and I think there's a real purpose. I mean, if we can get solar and batteries and generators and EV chargers to have more reliability, to be up, to generate more power, and do so at a much lower cost, I think we fundamentally do something for people around the world that really matters. And that by itself makes it all worthwhile.
Hmm. John, thank you so much for joining Arctic Podden today. I think we need you back. I would think, a year, but maybe before that, because it sounds like there's going to be a lot of things happening in Otovo. So I really look forward to following you and on this journey. And thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
This podcast has been prepared by Arctic for information purposes only. The information, opinions, and recommendations presented in this podcast are for general information only, and any reliance on the information provided in this podcast is done at your own risk. This podcast should not be considered professional advice. The information provided in this podcast is not intended to constitute investment advice, nor is the information intended as an offer or solicitation for the purchase or sale of any financial instrument. Relevant and specific professional advice should always be obtained before making any investment or credit decision. It is important to note that past performance is not indicative of future results. This podcast does not fulfill the criteria for preparing investment research and must be seen as marketing material. All information submitted during this podcast is obtained from public sources that Arctic believes to be reliable, but which Arctic has not independently verified. Arctic makes no guarantee, representation, or warranty as to its accuracy or completeness. No liability whatsoever is accepted for any direct or indirect, including consequential, loss or expense arising from the use of information from this podcast.